Welcome, everybody, to the Sue Dockerill Show, and it's really exciting to continue to move everybody's life forward in a positive direction. So today's show is all about living happily ever after and bringing those circumstances to the call that might be getting in the way. And in 30 minutes or less, let's shift. If the whole world took on that there's nothing wrong and that people are either thriving or struggling, imagine what would happen if we all just started really seeing the world differently. Like, there's no good, there's no bad, there's just lots and lots of opportunities. So I have a guest on the call. I'm going to switch over and bring her on. Let's see who our first caller is. Danielle, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Fantastic. I really enjoyed having our call yesterday when we were talking about different things with your daughter. How are things going today?
Good. Right now my daughter's dressed as a bee. She found her Halloween costume. So, but they're both being really sweet, and it's a thriving day.
It's a thriving day. That's so awesome. And, you know, so let's celebrate, right? Because that's something that, if we don't celebrate when things are going the way we want it to go, sometimes we take that for granted. And I thought I would start the show with just reading something called The Courage to Be Imperfect. And it's by Dreikers, who is a guru of parent education, believing that children misbehave not because they're bad, but because they have unmet needs. And I might take that a step farther and say that all human beings misbehave when we don't get our needs met to feel loved and valued, powerful, and to feel like we belong to something. And so for wherever you are listening to this show, I just want to share something with you, and it's called The Courage to Be Imperfect. The importance of courage in parents cannot be overemphasized. Whenever we feel dismayed or find ourselves thinking, my gosh, I did it all wrong, be quick to recognize the symptom of your own discouragement. Turn your attention to an impersonal consideration of what can be done to make matters better. When you try a new technique and it works, be glad. When you fall back into old habits, don't reproach yourself. You need to constantly reinforce your own courage. And to do that, you need the courage to be imperfect. Recall to your mind the times you have succeeded and try again. Dwelling on your mistakes saps your courage. Remember, one cannot build on weakness, only on strength. Admit humbly that you are bound to make mistakes and acknowledge them without a sense of loss in your personal value. This will do much to keep your own courage up. Above all, remember that we are not working for perfection, but only for improvement. Watch for the little improvements, and when you find them, relax and have faith in your ability to improve further. You can't do it all at once. Each small improvement is a step forward. Each step forward is a source of further encouragement. And this is adapted from Dr. Rudolf Dreikers. So, to really, you know, bring you back into the show, Danielle, I think yesterday you kind of ended the show with how it doesn't all happen at once, and that, you know, when you make these positive changes in your life, you know, it's like a muscle, like you got to just develop that muscle and you got to keep exercising. Do you want to speak a little bit about that to start the show?
Sure. It's easier to revert back to old habits and ways of disciplining than it is to change. So it is really, and it's, like I said, you know, what you say doesn't always resonate with me right away. So you can be saying the same thing over and over, like you've been talking to me about a problem with my daughter hitting me, and you know, like you told me what to do the first time we talked, but necessarily work yet because I wasn't either there. I didn't understand all the steps I had to take, or like she wasn't there. You know, it didn't work yet. And now we're at a point where it's like almost done. You know, that phase or that misbehavior.
And do you know what the biggest shift is about how come you're noticing the behavior is, you know, not so much present anymore? Like a hit from a child, I always tell parents, is like jumping out of your parachute and cutting it. Because when a child hits a parent, you're hurting the thing that's going to take care of you. And so it's you allowing her to hit you is, in a way, teaching her to hurt the person that cares about you the most. And so kind of like drawing that line in the sand and saying no more and doing everything you can to first of all, connect with your daughter. And just have you noticed since you've been doing more genuine encounter moments where you're putting things down and having that focused attention that, and you're starting to redirect her behavior instead of punish her, have you noticed her feeling less angry? And then, of course, also telling her what she can do with her anger instead of hurting people.
Yes.
You know, do you feel that? You know, it's like an energy thing. Are you redirecting her?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just the amount of time that she's in that we have to discipline has decreased a lot, because now I don't really look at her misbehavior as her trying to be naughty. It's her trying to tell me something. And so we do a lot more like, okay, let's just sit down and read a book. Let me rub your back. Like, you seem angry. Do you need a hug? You know? And so now that I've kind of helped guide her with those words that she can communicate, now she tells me. So today she did something and she came up to me and she was like, I need a timeout. I was like, okay. And you kept saying that this would happen, and today was the first day that she said that. She's like, I think I need a timeout. And she just went to her room and sat down on her bed. And then I came in there and was like, is everything okay? And she's like, yep, I'm good now. And then we went on with the day.
Oh, my gosh, that's self-regulation. So she is learning a life skill. She is learning that when she's upset to go somewhere and self-quiet herself and make herself feel better so she can do better. So when you say it's only been a few weeks that you've actually been even talking about self-quieting with your daughter?
Yeah, it really hasn't. Maybe a month, but not very long.
Wow. And, you know, I always tell parents the best way to teach this skill is to model it. So it's like, have you had any opportunities to say, Mommy's too angry to help you right now. I'm going to go in my room and make myself feel better. Like, I'm going to give myself a break. And you can call it time out. You can call it chill out. I'm going to go chill. Teenagers kind of like, you know, I'm going to take a break. You know, imagine if we all would just take a little break and not react to the situation. Because, see, in that detachment, once we detach, and I got to tell you and my listeners, the time to detach is when you least expect it to be. Does that make sense? Because when we get hooked into making someone go the way we want them to go, you're hooked in. You're hooked into a power struggle, and that's a good time to let go. And that's why I've told you, if she's still trying to hit you, the best thing for you to do is put yourself behind a door, put yourself behind a pillow, put yourself behind anything that she can still get her frustrations out, but she's not directly hitting you.
Right.
How has that worked?
Well, yesterday she had a desire to hit me, And I was like, you can hit the door, but you cannot hit mom. And so she did. She went over to the door and just hit it. And that was good. And then she was done.
And she might have even hurt her hand when she hit the door. And, you know, it's a good opportunity for you to go, you know, hitting hurts, you know. It's
right.
A natural consequence. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with learning that lesson. I always tell parents, you know, you got a little toddler and you go behind a door. You certainly don't want to leave a toddler unsupervised, but there's a good chance that the little toddler will be banging on the door. And I always say, well, when the banging stops, I'll come out, or when it's safe, because hitting's not safe. And so the more you can kind of give examples of, but can you imagine what happens to the child that's parents are hitting them and then telling them that, you know, it's such a double message we give children. It's okay for me to spank you, but it's not okay for you to hit. You know, it's okay for a teacher to push the kid to the end of the line and say, stop pushing, but it's, you know, or we raise our voices, but then we don't want our kids to raise their voices.
So it's okay.
You know, a lot of double messages. And we have to learn to, you know, kids are going to do what they see. I remember Casey when he was 2 years old, he hit me right in the face, just out of nowhere, just like right in the face. And I just looked at him. He must have seen the look on my face, because I was just like in shock. And I could tell that he was scared because he was looking at my face too. And I remember just looking at him and saying, what is my face telling you right now? And I, at that moment, he just said he was sorry and he hugged me. Or I said, what's my face saying I need right now? And it gave him an opportunity to hug me and repair. And I said, that was the only time I think my son ever did that. It was,
yeah.
So they're testing. You know how you said earlier in the show, you said that your daughter's communicating to you, that you're looking at behavior now, not so much as that they're bad, but that they're communicating something. And so instead of you hurting her back, which is what most parents do, right?
Mm-hmm.
If a child misbehaves, we usually take something away, or we hurt them, or we scold them, or we have them sit in time out. But what you're starting to take on is, gosh, when my daughter misbehaves, she's really struggling, and she's communicating that I'm not feeling loved, I'm not feeling valued, I don't feel like I belong. And think about her when she gets married. How much more successful will she be in a marriage if she knows to go put herself in self-quieting? And then when she comes back to her husband, she can actually ask him for what she wants instead of being angry and upset with him.
Right.
So do you get,
are you okay? I'm fine.
You're like, really giving her some. And that's really all life is. You know, we all have a certain amount of life skills that our parents taught their children. And you're teaching your child the life skill of making yourself feel better so you do better. And one of the reasons why I want to take this radio station on and have millions of listeners is because I believe that if we can get parents to take on that, you know, you're a life skills instructor and that you have to teach them these skills so that they are going to have successful relationships. Does that make sense?
It makes so much sense. And, I mean, what you're saying is applicable in business, in marriage, friendships, and just every relationship. It's like everybody misbehaves. It's just at a different level. And power struggles happen all the time in workplace. And so if you know how to handle those situations, like grow up with as a child, you'll be more successful that even as an adult, if like right now I'm just learning this for the first time, it makes a lot more sense of how I will handle situations in all aspects of my life.
And look at her. She, you went in, you peeked in her room, and at 2 years old, or three, right? Three?
No, she's
you got
she's
a little
two,
3 year
three
old.
In June.
Okay, so she's still two. A 2 year old, right? Sitting on her bed by herself, putting herself in timeout. Now imagine her being the executive of some big corporation. And she takes a moment to ground herself and become more mindful in the moment of making a huge decision for that corporation. And just gathering herself, instead of flying off the handle and reacting to the world and all the circumstances, she's actually learning to take some moments and just ground herself so that she can do better in life. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's so funny because by the time she's a teenager, parents get so frustrated with their teenagers, but look what we've given them to operate with. What if we did spank them and yell at them and take things away from them? No wonder teenagers are so hard to deal with. Because they're going to do back to us, right, what we've been doing to them. And no wonder they take away our relationship with them, because they're trying so hard to have control over their life. And I, you know, I'm really committed that we get this on the planet, that we really get that we are life skill instructors, but that wherever you're weak, that you can learn a skill or have somebody else come in and teach that skill to your child. Like, you know, I don't expect all parents to know calculus, no more do I expect all parents to be able to manage their time or maybe even their finances. But what if we could start to look at, wow, okay, I never was taught how to manage my finances because my father always managed it. But you know what? It's a skill that you can, I mean, Dave Ramsey is one of the best financial advisors out there. He's wonderful at helping people manage and create budgets. He's actually making it more fashionable to drive an old car that's paid for than a brand new Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
And people with money are actually listening to him because they're like, wow, yeah, this makes more sense. But what we keep teaching our young people is if you wear this outfit or you buy this $400 purse, somehow that's going to make you look good. But it's really not true, because being financially free certainly is a better way to go than having a $400 purse that's on a credit card and you're strapped financially. But see, you have opportunities to start teaching finance to your daughter at two. So does she have an allowance?
No.
So would you consider maybe this week that you might create an amount of money that she could start managing at two?
Yeah. Could I use the barter system? Does it have to be money?
Well, the only reason I say start with money is because think about how many times you've gone into a store and she wants something. And if
she's
you start putting
so
a dollar,
good, but yeah,
if you start putting a dollar a week, you know, whatever you decide, sometimes, okay, she's 2 years old, $2 a week in a jar, and she knows that's her money. The next time you go in the store and she wants a piece of candy or she wants something, it's like, you know, she'll have some money to buy it with. And what
right.
you're going to notice is sometimes she's going to go, oh, I don't want that. So many times with Drew, I remember saying, well, if you really want it, you can buy it with your own money. And he'd go, oh, I don't want it. So, you know, as long as the pockets are deep and the money's coming from the garden in the backyard or the tree that's growing out there, you know, the kids
right.
don't have the concept.
And, okay, I'll try that.
You know, yeah, and it's just, here's another idea. That this just gives your two-year-old more power because then she gets to start to think, well, I can have it. So you're not creating that scarcity. Well, no, we can't afford that. Instead, you're saying, you know what, $2 a week, let's see, how many weeks would you have to save up in order to be able to have that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's amazing what happens when children feel empowered and instead of hearing, we can't have that or you can't afford that.
You know, I have an example, if you wouldn't mind me sharing, but we did that with the remote. So her favorite TV show is Curious George, and I only let her watch a little bit, but I, at a pretty young age, like when she's about 18 months, I started handing her the remote and was like, okay, channel 8, like find the number 8 and push that. And then you can watch the show. And so she loves it because she feels like she has control over that remote that, like, you know, is everybody else gets to play with it usually. And so she gets that time. And then when the show was done, she wouldn't even ask to watch more TV. She would just turn it off because that red button was pretty fun too. And it was, like, we've always done that. And it's a good way for her to learn her numbers. And she feels like she's part of the family.
Mm, that's awesome. So she's got more power instead of less. And,
right.
You know, what you're going to find is that that's another mistake parents make is we keep taking things away. And I get calls from mothers that have teenagers who it's like, I've done everything. I've taken everything away. And my child is still out of control. She's having sex with multiple partners. She doesn't seem to have any boundaries. She doesn't care about herself. And I listen to that, and I'm like, you know, you've taken everything away from her, so the only thing that she has left is perhaps being promiscuous. You know, like children, when they get older, will use whatever they can, oftentimes against their parents. The one thing you can't really control is sex with a child. I mean, you really can't. Just like you're potty training your little daughter, the one thing you can't control is her bowel movements. Remember, didn't you tell me once that you did go behind the door, but she wet herself? Didn't she?
Oh,
do
yeah.
That?
Yep.
And
yep,
see,
Go ahead.
No,
well,
I want to hear the rest of the story.
She was hitting me, so I put her behind the door, and like 2 seconds later, she's like, I'm pooping, and I open the door, and usually that means, like, I have to go to the bathroom, but she had already wet herself, and she purposely waited to say something until she had already gone, because then she got more attention from it. It was a lot.
And so that's just, that's what a two-year-old would do, but could you see what she might do at 16 or 17? Like, it's like
yeah.
There are certain biological functions that's what children get them, teenagers get themselves into these revenge cycles and get pregnant. And I had another teenager, she had 4 kids and she was 17 years old.
Oh, wow.
And I asked her, you know, what's going on? Like, why, what, you know? And the sad thing was is that she was living with her mother, and she told me how horrible their relationship was and that she felt like, you know, she was getting even with her mother. And the sad thing is that when I worked with her, she kept a belt in her purse, and she was whipping these 4 cute little boys constantly because she was trying so hard to keep them under control. And as we worked longer in her background, you know, what she finally realized is that all the pregnancies, everything was all to get even with her mother, and because of how hard her mother was on her. And the cycle of her living now with her mother and her mother criticizing her constantly for how she parents her boys. And you could just see it. It's like, you know, I share this story with our listeners because it's like, you know, it doesn't have to get that bad. And if she does wet herself, you still give her more power by giving her some wet wipes, and just don't even acknowledge that she did it. Just, here's some wet wipes. When you're all cleaned up, well, let's go get a snack together, you know, mm-hmm. and let her take her panties off or whatever and put them in the laundry and let her wipe herself off and put on a clean pair of pants. And you guys sit down and wash your hands and celebrate, you know, it's like, but the more she takes care of even, you know, whatever she chooses to do, the more she'll get her integrity back by cleaning herself up mm-hmm. versus you doing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, and it's the natural consequence. Like, okay, if you choose to do that, then you have to clean it up.
The wipes. And, you know, or you can even do it with her. You can have fun. It's like, okay, so here's the wipes. Are you going to wipe yourself, or are you going to put the clean pants on? And she'll just go into it. She'll grab it. She's so capable. And can you see how strong she is? Like, this is your firstborn child is going to be the one that's going to need more power.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the one that we're usually the hardest on. And so as you're giving her more power, have you noticed her even getting along better with her little brother?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're not fighting for my attention. She knows that she is loved, and so now it's more fun to play with him. And, like, while we were talking, they both were eating lunch, and she actually gave him some of her food because she didn't want it. Like, how sweet is that?
She's sharing. Yeah,
and I didn't
and
say
it's
anything.
Also natural. No. But you can acknowledge her. You can always go, wow, you shared with your brother. That is, you know, that's so generous. You're such a generous spirit. And, you know, acknowledge her, not by saying you're a good girl for sharing with your brother, but you shared your food. That's a very generous thing to do. And I love how generous you are. And instead of saying good girl, you compliment the deed, not the doer. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because parents fall into that trap of saying, oh, you're such a good girl. And it's very condescending. And it puts all of the external, it's an external reward instead of an intrinsic reward. So it's like, how did that make you feel when you shared your food with your brother? Yeah, it made me feel really good. Yeah, it does make you feel good when you share with others. I feel good when I share with others, too. And, okay, we're coming to the close of our 30-minute show. Danielle, I want to thank you for being on the show again, and I'm looking forward to the next one. I'll see everybody on Monday, and we're going to talk about the 5 ways we discourage children. So this is a list I really like everybody to tune into, because you might be surprised when you hear about some of these ways. So, Danielle, have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue.
And you're so welcome. Hugs to those 2 beautiful children and your husband. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Bye.